God is what? Good. He is good. Thank you for being with us today. Let's get to it. I want to take you on a journey that's from last week. We talked about the importance of being all in and being committed. And part of what I believe happens to people who are totally committed is they can't turn around. In our study, I took you to Luke chapter 8, and I showed you a family that was facing a crisis. A father, Jairus, and his daughter were struggling because she was on deathbed, and he came to Jesus, and he was asking for a miracle. He was asking for help. And he asked in the Bible text first, in chapter 8, verse 41, "Behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogues, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years old." How old was she? 12 years of age, wow. And she was dying. As he went, the multitudes thronged him. On the way to see her, on the way to help her, because his father came crying, he was interrupted by a crowd of people who surrounded him. And there's a story that I told last week, verse 42 to about verse 48, about a woman with the issue of blood. Do you remember that? So imagine you are in a desperate moment. Your daughter's dying. He's going to your house. He's headed towards your home. And then the crowd surround him, block him. And now, all of a sudden, that's right. That's a confirmation right there. He is all of a sudden stopped, and this woman cuts the line. Now, in Europe, they have a term called cutting the queue. It's one of the things you don't do. Cut the line. If you cut the queue, it's not just in Europe, in some parts of the world, you know, that's a term they use. Is that what they use in New Orleans? London. I'm sorry, London. I apologize. You know about what I'm talking about. In London, you can't cut the queue. And so it seemed to me like this woman with the issue of blood that was healed cut the queue. And the crowd's so big, he can't stop them, so many people. And his daughter's dying. Time's of the essence. And then the Bible says this, it's powerful, verse 49. While he was still speaking, someone came from the rulers of the synagogue's house saying, "Your daughter's dead. Do not trouble the teacher." It's too late. Time's run out. It's over. In that moment, you could feel pretty lost. It's like everybody forgot about you. She testifying about her healing and how her blood has dried up now and she's feeling better than ever. Have you ever been in that situation where you felt forgotten? Say this with me, please. Say, "What about me? Where your husband at? What about me? How come I don't have a new car? How come I don't have, what about me?" You ever look at people and they look so good it make you mad? Honest to God, you know, you just do like that and hair just fly everywhere and just bam, right in, and then you know yours ain't like that. My hair's getting a little thinner. Let them young boys come in the barbershop. I said, "What about me?" I might come one week. I might be joining the crowd. Now, y'all know the club I'm talking about. I'm headed that way. And I ain't going to fake it. When it's time, I'm going to go with it. So don't say nothing. I'm telling you now. I'm giving you a little warning. Might have to go. I'm working it out the best I can. Praise God. But Lord Jesus. Yeah, I know. I try, you know. You ever just feel forgotten. You feel like no matter how hard you try, you didn't fit in. Somebody just cut in front of you, just got in front of you, got the job. How did they get promoted? How did they get? And your girlfriend come and she got the finest looking dude ever, as wicked as she is. And here you are. You feel forgotten, you do. You know, and they show off in their new car and you in your hoopty. House needs a screen door. Can't go on vacation. If you do, they over at the Ritz-Carlton, you down at the Motel 6. All those things can make you feel forgotten. Now, what's powerful in this story is the brother doesn't say anything. No words. Now, some of us would be cussing right about now, see? Okay, some of them, I won't say us. Don't be cutting the queue. I don't want to hear about your blood issue or whatever you said, issue of blood. See, notice he's wise enough to just be still. Let Jesus do the talking. Sometimes your problem is you doing the talking. Come on, say, let Jesus do the talking. You're talking too much. You're trying to give all the answers. You're trying to figure it all out. You're trying to, I know what happened. She just said, up in herself, came just cut the key. See, you need to stop blaming people. You need to stop trying to label everything. That's what it's, Christians get on my nerve. Get on my nerve. They know everything. Oh, they know they get saved, and they know everything. They got a Bible verse for everything. They come to your house knowing everything. They prophesy and everything. And they just. I almost said something. Jeez, no, I better think about it. I better think about this one. This one I need to put on the altar for a second. I'm going to try my best. I believe in prophecy. Come on, say, he believes in prophecy. No, say, come on, he believes in prophecy and prophets. Some of y'all ain't prophesying. Y'all making up stuff. Come to your mind. The Bible says you prophesy out of your own heart. I stop people. Hey, whoa. Can I give you a prophecy? No. Sometimes. It depends. I'll stop you. I say, I don't let everything go in my mind. Everybody doesn't have the right. Come and tell me what God said to me. I'm sorry. It's not your assignment. Not every time. Now, you could be right. And I'm pretty open. I accept it most of the time. I listen. But you have to be willing to hear it. Lady called me one time. It's a true story. Lady called me one time. Christmas morning. Getting the toys out for the kids. It's a true story. And this is back when she called information and said, I'm trying to catch Ricky Temple. And she said, It's an emergency. Called the total operator. It's an emergency. And the operator called. Said, I can't give you his number because it's private. But I can call him for you. And connect you. She did that. So she called me. Is this Pastor Ricky Temple? Yes, I said, it is. Christmas morning. About to give the kids the toys. Just about to, right in the moment. So I answered the phone. She said, it's a lady said this is an emergency. And she needs to speak to you right away. And I said, okay. I said, well, hold on, children. Put the toys back. Hold on. So I go over to the room by myself. I said, ma'am, can I help you? She says, this is, and she said her name. She's a prophet. The Lord told me to call you. I saw you standing next to a trash can. You know what that means? You got trash in your life. You need to get it out. That's what that woman told me. I said, woman, you ate too much or something. You have lost your mind. You lied to the operator and told her to get on this phone. And I said something else and I hung up the phone. What else did you say? Something else. Anyway. True story. What does that do with the sermon? I don't know. I just wanted to say it. I don't know. I guess my point is that sometimes people need to stop trying to over-spiritualize, over-explain. This guy didn't do any of that. He just got quiet and let Jesus speak. He's able to fix a bad moment. He's able to get through to people. You don't have to be the voice of God to people. Get that with your children. Let Jesus talk to them. Sometimes you said all you can say. You had some, how many years you had? 20 years, 30 years, 50 years? You had a long time. You've said enough. Let Jesus talk to them. He has a loud voice. Sometimes it's from a jail cell. Sometimes it's from a hospital bed. Sometimes it's from a bad marriage. Sometimes it's from whatever. But God has the ability to speak to them in ways that you can't speak. Come on, say amen, church. Are you hearing me? Let Jesus, come on. Let him speak. Because that's how he spoke to me. My mama couldn't tell me everything. My mama couldn't teach me every lesson. Jesus was able. Bad moment for this, it's a bad moment for this brother, but he's smart enough to be quiet. And what I love about this, Bible's in verse 50, when Jesus heard about it, he answered him. Remember, the guy said, your daughter's dead, do not trouble him, in verse 49. But when Jesus heard it, he answered. Come on, say, he answered.
He answered.
Lord, have mercy. Let him answer. He answered. He jumped in the conversation. Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well. They think there is no more time. But Jesus said there is time. Time may be out for him. Time may be out for the doctor. Time may be out for the judge. Time may be out for the lawyer. But time is not up for God. God still has time on the clock. Come on, say amen. They may have done everything they can do. But God still has other options. Verse 51, and when he came to the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the girl. Now, I want you to notice this. Jesus says everybody can't have access to what's about to happen. Now, I want to tell you a secret. If you live a certain way, think a certain way, you'll get locked out of certain opportunities. He won't even let you see the miracle. He won't give you access to what God can do. You'll never know the true power of God in your life. You'll never see the miracle working power or potential in your life. You'll live at a level way beneath what God could do. And I love this. You can't tip your toe and see this. You got to have faith to climb on top of it. Some people will never see God's blessing because they don't give enough. They're too cheap. God will never bless you beyond your faith. I think it's important for you to sit back every year. Now, just take this in the right spirit. Look at your giving record. And say, now, is this an evidence of my faith? Does this say how much I love Jesus? I talked to somebody one day, and they told me, they said these words, if my husband would only give me $200 a month, I'd be happy. Pastor Rick, I'd be so happy. $200, he doesn't give nothing to help this house. I said, oh, would you do me a favor? Please, please, God, please. Would you give me that in a pill form? I'm going to give it to Diane. Put that in a drink or something. Here, drink this down. Drink it down. I need you to drink this, girl. Don't ask any questions. Just drink it. It's a $200 pill. That's all it is, a $200 pill. Just drink it. Oh, drink it all. Oh. Jesus will not show certain people certain things. When he got to that house, he put all the people out that didn't need to be there. And then verse 52 says this, now all wept and mourned for her. But he said, do not weep, she is not dead, but sleeping. Verse 53 is powerful. They ridiculed him. They knew she was dead. See, this is that moment where God looks at you and says, you know what? You can't see what I can see. You think that person's beyond help, but I see potential. You are disqualified from the miracle. That's why you folks are outside. I'm about to do something in here that you can't see. Because you're laughing out there, but I'm working a miracle in here. Come on, come on, come on, come on. You hear me? I know what you think. Because everybody you know is in your situation. But I'm about to do something in this room that you can't see. And he closed the door. Bam. Stay out there. Watch me work. Laugh. Yeah, she ain't moving, but she about to move. Because I can make her move. I don't need your faith. I need my faith. I need the people in this room. See, which one are you, inside or outside? Does it lock you out because you're always murmuring and complaining? Right now in the political world, you know what you're doing? The boogeyman coming. The boogeyman coming. You're scared to death. I refuse to be afraid. I refuse to think something. God is in charge of our future. Come on, say amen. God's in charge. I'm going to vote. I'm going to stand up, but I refuse to sit there and digest for 8 hours. Some of you watch the news for 8 hours. You're scared to death, nervous. Every little inch of everything. I know I'm a news hound. Believe me, I read and study everything. But I'm not going to be afraid. He's God. He's God. Did I say that? Who is he? Come on, who is he? Why would I be afraid? Verse 54. He put them all outside. All the ones who were laughing. Put them all outside. Took her by the hand and called her and said, "Little girl." I love it. "Arise." Then her spirit returned and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. Give her some grits. And her parents, that's not in the text. Some of y'all looking for it. Ain't it? And her parents were astonished. But he challenged them to tell no one. Of course, they told everybody. What's amazing is, in this moment, a miracle took place. And the man never said a word. He could have felt forgotten. But he wasn't forgotten. You may feel forgotten, but you're not forgotten. You may not know what to say, but God knows what to say. You don't have to worry about the people who laugh and don't believe in you. God, don't worry about them. Lock them out. Watch God work in your life. See, here's what I believe. If God's hand is on my life, I believe it. When I changed the service times, I was nervous a little bit. Made some people around me nervous too. When I closed the church down during COVID, I said, "We ain't coming back." I told them, they first told me, I said, "It's going to be a year." You should have heard them yelling, "Ah!" I said, okay. I said, okay, I edit this down. How much can you take? 3 months? Okay, 3 months. Then 3 months come, I tell them again, okay, 3 more months. They asked me again, I said, okay, 3 more months. I knew I had a year in my mind. As a matter of fact, I had almost 2 years in my mind, but I didn't want to scare everybody. Then I said, "I'm going to change the service time." And they said, "When you coming back?" I said, "Well, I'll be the last one back." And then when I was the last one back, and we was outside still, and then when I changed, I said, "We're going to go back once a month." "Oh, we're going to a country church." "What's a country church?" "Once a month." Then I said, "Two times a month." Then they said, "Oh, it's still a country church." I said, "That's right. 1, 2, buckle my shoe. 3, 4, shut the door." That's what they say. I said, "How you going to remember? 1, 2, 3, 4. We're not following the crowd. We're not going to follow the crowd. We're not going to follow the crowd." Yeah, I was nervous. Devil said, "The money going to be gone. They don't come to church. They don't give. But, ooh, the money going to go down, 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 down." I said, "Oh, well, it may go down, but I'll be alive." Thank you, Jesus. It may go down. But the money didn't go down. God provided, did everything, fixed more things, repaired everything, fixed the roof, $50,000 here for $500,000. Oh, we paid cash, too. Come on, give God praise. Come on. Come on, give God some praise. That's why I tell y'all to give now, because I done a whole lot now. I need y'all to give now. Okay, for real. But what's powerful is, in the middle of it all, in the middle of being tempted to be afraid, then I settled in. I said, "Now, you know what? I'm tired. We did 28 services a month. 28 services a month. You don't believe me? Count them up with me. Wednesday day, Wednesday night, Thursday, Rinkin, Saturday, Sunday, 3 services, 9, 11, and 1:30. Count it up. Seven times four was how much? 28 services a month. That wasn't including other stuff. Singles, married, blah, blah, blah. Felt good for a minute. But long term, that ain't good. So we changed everything. Got this new schedule now, right? And I tell you, it's different. First, second Sunday live, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, right? Third Sunday's called, what is it called? Gathering. We have all kinds of special things. Singles, married, men. We're going to do all kinds of stuff on third Sunday. And fourth Sunday. What's fourth Sunday?
Sabbath.
What's fourth Sunday?
Sabbath.
And see, that seemed like it's a sin. Somebody told me that the other day. They said, it's got to be wrong. I said, I know. I feel like it too. What you do on fourth Sunday? I said, I look left. And then I look right. Then I look left again. What else you do? I look right again. It's called Sabbath. Called rest. Stop, then come back here on first, second Sunday, ready to go. This month, we're going to really be rolling. We're going to do first, second Sunday live. Then next Sunday, we're going to be Sabbath Sunday. We're doing our digital Sunday, all digital. But then the fourth Sunday, we're here. Fifth Sunday, we're here. First Sunday, we're here. Second Sunday, we're here. Third Sunday is America. We're going to be rolling. We're rolling. But it takes courage to believe what others don't believe and to try something new. Come on, church. Are you hearing me? Come on. Amen. And look here, when I see these college students pile in here, almost 100 of them every Sunday, I say, thank you, Jesus. Every time I see hundreds of people online, I mean, this past week, middle of the week, hundreds of people watching online. Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing what God is doing. But it's not the same. Here's the question. Do you believe that God can do something in your life that no one else is doing? Do you believe that God can open a door for you that no other door is open? Do you believe that God's hand can be on your life in the middle of a crisis? Do you believe it? I do. See, in the middle of all of that, I was working on a doctorate program. I was. I started in fall of 2018. Then COVID came, threw them off for a year and a half. This slowed me down. A year and a half because they didn't know what to do. The school was confused. Everybody was confused. But we made it 5 years. Hallelujah. But I this past Wednesday, I finished everything. I'm done. Hallelujah. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I's done. I was done. March the 9th, I'm going to graduate. I wasn't going to the graduation. I told him to send my paper. I'm tired. Just send me a paper. And Diane said, no, you're going. You tortured me for all these. You're going. You're going to march across the stage. It's the third time. Last year, God is so good. Let me tell you, God can do what you never thought he could do. When I was 39, the denomination I'm still licensed with, they gave me the highest honor they have, an honorary doctor of divinity. Then last year, my alma mater called me and said, we're going to give you our highest honor, the doctorate of letters degree. And then this year, I get a doctorate of ministry degree. God is good. Triple doctor. God is a good God. Come on. God is good. God is faithful. And just because I want to say it the last time I'm going to say it, I made a 4.0 all the way through. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. Now, here's why I say all that. It's a miracle. If you saw me way back in my undergrad years or high school years, you said, oh, that's a miracle. That's a miracle from God. A guy who didn't read much until he was about 15. A guy who didn't, who come from South, grew up in South Central LA. A guy who was born off of Geechee Road. Let me tell you something. God is a good God, and God can do abundantly above all you can ask or think. That father, when he saw his daughter, his 12-year-old girl, walking out and all the laughers couldn't laugh anymore. Let me tell you, if you obey God, they'll stop laughing, don't worry. If you obey God, one day they'll say things. When I used to walk down the hallway in high school, they say, oh, look at him, oh, holy. I said, that's fine. Now they say, hey, Pastor Rick, how are you, Dr. Temple? Yes, they got to say it now because God is a good God. God will get you places that nobody else can get you. Come on, say preach it, man. I get excited every now and then. Some of you have given up. You lost your faith. You think you can't. You think you don't know how. You think you ain't cute enough. You're too big. You're too small. I've been on both sides of that. I was too skinny. Then I got a little stomach a little bit. It's goodbye. I'm looking pretty good. Praise God. You know what's amazing? He's able to take what you give him. In my mind in this story, there is a key thing that made the difference. And I'm going to talk about that later. Matthew 7 says this. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, I want to leave you with this thought, and I'm done for the day. It is my full conviction that the reason some people will never, ever see the miracle God has for their life, because they won't ask for it. In the name of humility, they don't seek anything. They don't knock. Here's what I think is important. I'm going to talk about where you work for a minute. Your company is trying to get to the next $1 million. If it's a school system, they're trying to get the next $1 million funding. They're trying to get the next $1 million grant. The average employee is not. They're just trying to get to the next paycheck. That's why companies don't do well. Because the people who work for them don't have a vested interest. They're not trying to promote social media. They're not trying to build the audience. They're not trying to write books. They're not trying to get an audience. They don't travel anywhere. They don't want to expand their borders. They want to live where they live, have what they have, and survive. They have a survivalist mentality. But that is not what that is. In the Greek, ask is in the present tense. Active means you personally are involved in the action, and it's called an imperative, a present active imperative in the grammar. He's saying that you should always be asking. You should be, it's not passive tense, you should always be in the act of asking. And it's not maybe optional. Ask maybe sometime if you feel like it. That's not what he said. He said, I'm asking you to ask. I'm commanding you. It's imperative that you become an asker. My temptation is to not ask. My temptation is to settle for what we have. My temptation is to see the world one way. I want everybody in the building, all y'all folks at home, I want you to come on in this building. See, that's what I'm tempted to do. But that, my friend, is not how it works. The world has changed. I'm asking God to help us embrace all of the options he's made available. We had a men's meeting this morning at 8 o'clock. We had men in the building. We had men at home. Some of them are home right now. I had a family tell me, Pastor Rick, I got too many kids to get dressed to get to church in the morning. It's hard. I had to about beat them all to get them all lined up. What I do is I have them in their pajamas, sit there, watch you. They're watching right now. Family of five, hey. He said, I'm cooking breakfast while they're watching. And then when we finish, we eat breakfast and talk about the sermon. And everybody's still in their pajamas. I say amen. Can I get an amen, somebody? Come on, can I get an amen? It's important for you to understand that God can do for you if you allow him. But you have to ask him. You have to seek new ways. You have to knock on new doors. Now, I'm going to give you a prophetic word. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. I'm going to prophesy to you. That's right. Pray me some prophet music. Your life will never change. You will murmur to the grave if you don't ask for something new. You will never, ever in your life get what you're looking for if you don't look in new places, try new approaches, and if you don't knock. What door have you knocked on lately? It's all about you saying, I want this for me. Lift your hands up high. Father, I come today thanking you for the message, for these 30 minutes together. Thank you for the opportunity to share. I pray and I believe, oh God, that you can work a miracle in our lives. Like you raised that girl up from the dead, you can raise up our marriage, raise up our life, raise up our finances, raise up our spirit, raise up our confidence. Some of us have lost it. We've lost faith in ourselves. We've been damaged by the world around us. But, oh God, you're able. You're able. in Jesus' name. Hands down, look at me for a second. Imagine the little girl. Imagine her eyes open. Imagine her looking around. Parents crying. Tears everywhere. And this man she'd never seen before holding her hand. Rise, girl. Imagine those first new steps. Here's what I want to do when I get to heaven. I want to meet her. What kind of faith does she have now? What a powerful testimony. But some of you are that little girl because you got a story. You went through something that ended all of your faith, all of your confidence, and God has resurrected you and given you a new beginning. Come on, say amen. God has pulled you up. God has given you power. God has given you more than you ever expected. Just the ability to do what you're doing right now. So God, we close this service believing your hand is on our life, celebrating the power of your resurrection in our lives as we come to this Easter month. We lift our hearts and our minds saying, we believe, oh God, we believe, oh God, we believe, oh God, we trust you. We say in Jesus' name, be with us. We thank you. And we are committed to doing something in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today, I ask you, Lord God, to touch those who are here today, who need you. If you don't know Christ and you want to know him as your Savior, today is the day. I want to pray a prayer for you. If you say, Pastor Rick, I need Jesus in my life. What you said spoke to me today. I want him to take my hand and take me to a new place. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to raise your hand and say, pray that prayer for me, Pastor Rick. That's my prayer. My walk with God needs a tune-up. Let me know who I'm praying for today. Who am I praying for? Just put your hand up, put it down. Say, yeah, pray for me. I see you. I see you. Anybody else saying, pray for me? I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you too. I see you. Father God, I pray for these whose hands are lifted. I see you. I pray for those online. Same thing. Type in the chat. Say, I raise my hand in Jesus' name. Right there. Touch on that device right now. There's an option for you to say, pray for me. I need Jesus in my life. Father, let this be that moment. Some are rededicating their lives. Some are giving their lives to Jesus for the first time. Let this be that moment. Would you all pray this prayer? Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for loving me, taking my hand, raising me up, giving me a new beginning. I thank you for loving me and accepting me where I am in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you give God a big praise? Come on, church, big praise. Amen.